Listening to another episode of Courageous Conversations with Cherie. I'm your girl, Cherie Darien. What's up, Savannah? So glad to be back with you today. A very hard month, man. I'll tell you guys about that in a minute. But I'm thankful for this beautiful panel of co-authors that I have with me today. But before we jump into that, let me jump into this and remind you, you're listening to WRUULP Savannah, Georgia. 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings Community Radio with Global Soul. And the viewpoints expressed in the following program are not necessarily that of WRUU, its staff, or its license holder. Okay, and after all of that business, who do we have on the line with me today? We have a panel of co-authors, the authors of a book entitled Pain to Profit. And I believe the compiler is none other than Miss Pamela Manti. Welcome, welcome. Thank you, ladies. Are you on the line with me?
Yes, we are here. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. So who do we have? We have Prophetess Dr. Charlene Waldron Kinlock. Welcome, my darling. We have Danietta Najali. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Cherie.
My pleasure. We also have Danielle Tatum.
Hello, everyone. Hello.
Hey, we have Joanna Tress, like the hair, right? Her hair is gorgeous.
Hello.
Hi. And last but not least, we have Melinda. And I love the way you spell your name. I think it's the first I've seen it like that. Miss Melinda Jordan. Welcome.
Hello, thank you for having me today.
My pleasure. First radio interview for this brand new book, right?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Are you excited?
Yes.
I'm excited.
Awesome. Let's keep the momentum going, ladies. I understand there's actually 20 authors. Am I correct?
Yes, we still onboarding some women, so we probably have more than 20.
Oh, wow. This is fantastic. Well, thanks for kicking it off with me today. What I'm going to do to start this half of the episode is by rolling out the red carpet for each one of you. And what that really looks like is I'm just going to read a short and very small piece of each one of your bios so that my listening audience can get an idea of the subject matter experts, we're going to say it like that, on pain to profit that I'm speaking to. Is that all right?
Sure.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. All right, let's go. So Miss Pamela is a two-time number one Amazon best-selling author, life strategist, and book consultant who creates incubators to nurture women for the effective development of their purpose and their passion. Pamela has overcome significant health challenges, which have evoked her extraordinary passion for living life purposefully with intention. She is a powerful conference speaker and mentors to women around the globe. She is known for taking women on her journey of empowerment and transformation to become who they are called to be. She is also, yes, I saw that, snap, snap, snap. She is also the CEO of It Takes Honey Money Network. I love that. With a vision to equip and educate women to discover their identity and purpose, monetize their potential for financial freedom and global impact. Yes. And next we have Prophetess Waldron Kinlock. She was born and raised in the small scenic island of Tobago. She is the wife of Apostle David Kinlock Sr., a mother and grandmother. From an early age, the hand of God has been on her mightily and pursued multiple roles within the body of Christ. Prophetess Charlene has graduated with a Bachelor of Science degree in Bible theology and also pursued her education in nursing, receiving a degree as an RN. In July 2021, she received her honorary doctorate in divinity from Mount Olive Bible College. You go, girl. Prophetess Dr. There it is, Charlene, is a firm believer in not just taking, but also in giving back to her community. She serves as assistant teacher of the Women of Virtue group, which is geared towards the development and growth of Christian women. She was also honored with several awards for her outstanding service. Among these were citations and proclamations from the Borough President of the Bronx, the City Council of New York City, the New York State Assembly, and New York State Senate. Additionally, she is the senior pastor of Abundant Life Ministries in Orlando, Florida, and the president and CEO of A Voice to the Nations, LLC, and Grow Your Faith Bible Study online platform. Besides this, can you believe it? She is also the vice president and co-founder of A Touch of Care Home Health Agency in Orlando, Florida. These girls are doing it. Wow. And next we have Danietta Najoli, a number one Amazon best-selling author and a growth mindset and personal foundations coach who works with successful people who want to engage a thinking partner and co-creator for the things they value most. And next we have Danielle Marie Tatum. Danielle is also known as Danny Boo. I love it. She is a former model, go girl, and mother of two from Cincinnati, Ohio, who currently works in banking and is an entrepreneur with a herbal business. She has overcome child, mental, physical, sexual abuse, abandonment, the loss of a child, suicide, and more. Her story goes to explain how she pushed the reset button and walked away from the trauma into triumph. You go, girl, drop the mic. And there's more. We're up next with Miss Joanna Tress. She is the co-founder of, Joanna, I need some help. I want to say Manhattan, but that's not it.
Matana.org,
a collective of performing artists age 35 and up who want to add more happiness and satisfaction to their life through singing, dancing, acting, playing an instrument, or expressing themselves creatively. The Matana Five-Dimensional Performing Arts Experience workshops that Joanna hosts offer a safe, judge-free space for people of all backgrounds and levels of experience to explore and refine their craft in preparation for opportunities to perform on stage and film. She has three young adult sons and has found a way to flourish and prosper despite some harrowing situations in life by being fiercely positive and determined to grow and improve her life by changing herself, check this, from the inside out. A native of New Jersey, Joanna currently lives in Orlando, Florida, with her husband of 2 years and business partner, Matthew Tress. You go, girl. I feel like my throat is on fire, Savannah, but I got one more for you, Miss MJ. Miss Melinda Jordan. She is a wife, mother, life coach, and here we go, veteran police officer. You guys are girls, ladies, are amazing. As a police officer, Melinda has experienced a lot of trauma. Melinda has seen the worst in people, but she knows that it is good in everyone. She wants to focus on the fact that everyone has a story. She realizes that hurt people hurt people. So her mission is to help heal the wounds of others. She wants empathy and self-care for herself as well as others. She also wants to highlight that as police officers, they often experience trauma. So to bring light to the trauma that they experience, she's working on promoting self-care for both adults and children. Melinda has a soft heart for children, and she is affectionately known as Mama Jordan. The children that she serves looks at her like a mother figure and not a law enforcement officer. She volunteers with various youth organizations as a mentor and life coach. Y'all hear that? Snap, snap, snap. Yes, welcome. Oh my God. Wow. Now I did hear some trauma in that, right? I told you girls, we're gonna have some fun. We're just gonna, you know, we're gonna kick it. We're gonna have a conversation. Don't have a cocktail. It's too early. Anywho. I'm thinking about the name. I know everybody's thinking about the name, but I do want you to jump in. Miss Pam, I want you to lead us. Tell us, you know, an overview, if you will, about Pain to Profit. I know what that word, the image that's created in my mind when I hear those words, but you tell me from your perspective, and let's open it up for Savannah to understand what's happening with this book and why they should pick it up.
Yes, yes, yes. So Pain to Profit is about the woman who has been through some pain, right? Every one of us has been through some sort of situation, you know, struggle, challenge, opposition, call it, we've been through it, you know, but this book is giving women the platform, the opportunity to share that story. You know, out of that stories, the negative things that we experience, we develop passion to either help people so that they can come out of it or to help people to prevent them from, you know, going through the same thing that we did. So this book really has some amazing stories. We are sharing the stories, but with solutions, you know, not just reading our story and say, wow, this is deep, but we are also sharing solutions that, you know what, I've been through it and this is what I did to come out of it, and you can come out as well. So profit, when you hear the word profit, people think it's just about money. Yeah, some of us have been through the space where what we've been through, we've been able to monetize. But profit is also what you have benefited. That is also going to benefit your community and the global, you know, community that you have. So that is what this book is about. And it's just incredible, the women that have come in here that are connecting. We are like a sisterhood. We encourage each other, inspire each other, pray for each other. It is just a bond that this book is creating, and we want that bond to extend to people who will read our stories as well.
Okay, that's all. It sounds very intelligent and all that jazz. How did you guys come together, right? I heard two people that are in Orlando, Florida. You're obviously the compiler of this. And I mean, really, we honor you, Miss Pam, and the work that you've already done, but apparently this was placed on your heart and soul to do something like this. What type of net did you cast, and how did you catch these ladies?
Well, some of these ladies I've known them for a while. This is not my first anthology. And I also have a women's community called It Takes Money, Honey. And my passion is to help women really and be able to, you know, express themselves, what they've been through, whether it's through self-publishing, organizing, you know, putting together organizations and whatnot. So some of these ladies came from my past work, my events, the books that I've had. And I have ladies inviting other ladies as well. You know, Charlene, I was on live, you know, doing a live on Facebook, and Charlene heard me and she texted me immediately. She said, lady, I'm going to buy the book right now and I'm in. I was looking for five women. She said, one of those parts is gone, okay, because I want to be in this book. So wow. I have women just jumping in, connecting with them, and I share my heart for just my passion for what I've been through. Because one, I was born with a chronic disease. I'm not supposed to be alive. I was told that I wouldn't be able to have any kids. I would die through childbirth. I didn't know that. I didn't think that any man would want me because of my health issues. So when I was able to really get myself to a place, be able to redefine who I was, that, you know, I'm not a weakling, I'm not a sickler, that I had purpose, you know, and whatever I was going through, I could use that, turn it around to empower myself instead of becoming, you know, thinking that I'm disabled or becoming victimized by it. You know, so women do connect with that story. And at first, I was afraid of sharing it. I was afraid because every time I shared, you know, well, I was born with sickle cell disease. What I heard was, girl, you're about to die. You know that sickle cell, you're not gonna. I was like, no. You know, I didn't want people to project that fear into me. I had to overcome that to empower other women that, you know what? What you've been through is that is your place of power. Is that place that people will connect with? You know, and the best place, one of the best places to do it is through a book because it goes global. Yeah. You know, so that is really is my passion.
You said something so powerful that really just resonated with me deeply. You said, when I was really able to get to a place, I think that's what a lot of people are self-sabotage themselves or get stuck. And to have the courage, plug intended, obviously, here. With Courageous Conversations with Cherie, but to have the courage to look at the situation and not deceive yourself as if it wasn't happening. You had a true diagnosis of sickle cell, but in spite of that, you didn't allow that to stop you or prevent you from moving forward. But something happened, I'm imagining, occurred where you got to that place. Something became a catalyst for you to say, no, this is not how the rest of my life is going to be. I'm going to do something different. What was that? What was that like? Can you just elaborate on that a bit for those that may be listening that may still be stuck in anything? You know, it could be a number of things, and each of you certainly have stories, and I want you to certainly get in as well and share your own stories.
Absolutely. So I remember one day I was laying down. At that time, I was married with 5 children. Now I have 3 children. I have 5 now with 2 grandchildren. And I was laying down and I was like, God, you have given me all these. You know, I have the husband now. I have children now. We have a house. We have this and this, you know, all the material stuff. Why is it that I am so unhappy? Yeah. Why is it that I feel as if my life is meaningless? So that was really that point for me, the epiphany that, you know what, I need to find out who I am. I need to, you know, discover my purpose, you know. So that was that moment for me on the journey. Now, when I say that I got to that place, Cherie, it didn't happen in a day.
Come on, yeah.
It was a process. And I didn't have people to mentor me. I didn't know people like that. And we didn't have social media where you could just connect with people. You know, you could read about people. We didn't have that. So now I am putting myself in a place being who I wasn't able to get, being that person that I was looking for 20, 15 years ago, positioning myself so that I can help others. But you have to be at a place when you can realize that, you know what, why is it that I have all this money? You know, I have everything that I think I need, but what is missing? Now, when you get to that place, then you need to know that there is more for you.
Wow.
And to pursue that more.
Okay, I got to get to these other ladies, but I still need to unpack some of what you just said. First of all, in the beginning, you were saying that you had a diagnosis, so you really didn't even see, or you were told that you wouldn't even have children. Then you fast forward, said you have 5. So let's not get skirt over that. But then you also said that she was loaded, y'all. She was the first billionaire in the family, right? That she had all these things, yet she wasn't happy. So it's not necessarily a direct connection that you can have wealth or stuff and be happy. You're still searching for something. But then obviously you had that epiphany moment to say, what is it that I truly want? But when you didn't find it, you chose to become it and then pay it forward. Okay. I'm just going to press pause on you because you are amazing. TheBomb.com. I need somebody else jump in. I don't even know who to go to next. Who wants to jump in? Just jump in, ladies.
I will. I just want to start off by saying that I've followed Pam on Facebook for a couple of years because she developed a beautiful presence, and no doubt I was attracted to her. She showed the qualities that, you know, that drew me into her community. It takes money, honey, because when I first discovered her, I did not have money, but I did have dreams.
Right.
And of course, you know, a dream without a goal and a deadline and steps to attain that goal and focus, keep your eye on the prize, means right. It was a dream and is never realized.
Yeah.
So it takes people a couple of years of being exposed to someone to, and as long as they continue to grow and they make it a goal for themselves to become in their orbit, a part of their circle, a part of that community to benefit. And that's actually what happened. We exchanged a few messages over a period of 2.5 years. Pamela came to an event that I was hosting sight unseen because obviously there was something about me that she liked and it was worth her time to hop in her car. This is before COVID shut down, hop in her car and show up with her fabulous self and connect and collaborate. So I just want to show the power of community and of not giving up. And so for me, it's taken me a 20-year journey. Actually, I'm going to say 25 years because I started having some ideas when I became a mother. My oldest child is 24. So there has been a whole, a complete journey, but I didn't give up. And it's okay if it took me this long to get to the point where I'm part of an Amazon best-selling book with these fabulous women. It's okay that I'm going to be 50 years old soon, and I've been with the love of my life for 3 years. It's okay because there is so much more ahead. We have so much of life living to do, and there's so much service that I can give to my community and to the world. There's so much service that I can provide, and that service, there is value to it. And the financial rewards are going to come because I'm willing to serve and to share. And I'm just thrilled to be here because all of this is, it's happening by divine appointment, and it's harmonious, and we are all benefiting together at the same time. We're in the right place at the right time.
Yes. That's awesome. That is amazing. What awesome. A perspective to have. And earlier I stated about you're here to inspire, motivate, and empower. What you just said, I know, just lit someone up because you can look at where you are, meaning from your age or stage in life, your season in life, and think, I mean, what am I going to do now? I love how you own the fact that it took you, you even corrected, you didn't say 20 years, you went back and said 25 years, yet you are just as excited and ecstatic about what you're doing. And then looking forward. Now I'm taking notes, ladies, because you just said 3 years with your, the love of your life, if I'm not putting words in your mouth, 3 years, you're not an 18-year-old woman. So that's telling me there's some history there. This might be, you know, your second dance or whatever. I don't know. But guess what? You're doing it. You're doing it. You're doing it, girl. And I'm loving it. That's awesome. But here's the thing. And I'm going to just go all over the place as it's coming up for me, ladies. And again, wherever this resonates with you specifically, jump in. I'm thinking about who's shared with me already, but I'm thinking about myself. You know, we see ourselves when you're sharing your story. I'm looking through my life, right? And I'm thinking, okay, I just lost my dad. And so like when Ayana was sending all of this and I'm thinking, I don't want to get on the radio. I just want to chill out in my bed. Like, I don't want to do life right now. I just want to, but when you've been consistent so much, and I've built this platform where there's people that's used to my voice and my silliness on the radio at 2 o'clock or 1 o'clock every Thursday, right? When there, you've created that platform, you have a responsibility. What I'm trying to get to is after you have done the hard work, right? You've seen the light at the end of the tunnel, you've gone through the process, and now you're on the other side of that thing. You now have a responsibility as authors, number one best-selling authors, you now have a responsibility to this audience that you sent your testimony or your story to. So in those times when yet you have already created this expectation, and then you have a real life moment, how do you keep going? What keeps you motivated? What gets you out of the bed? I saw something on TikTok and I think I'm answering my own question. She said, what do you do on those days when you don't feel like doing nothing? She said, just do it. You know, just do it. You just put it on. Just show up.
I would like to answer that. The reason why I would like to answer that, because the many hats that I wear as a wife, mother, as a minister of the gospel, and as just a mentor for so many, I get up 4 a.m. every Monday morning. I keep a 4 a.m. prayer. And many times I feel so tired during the day. Sundays might be hard, and Mondays is right cutting day. And one thing that makes me keep going is the fact that I know that my someone's deliverance or someone needs the word that I have that God gave me to give them. And so many times I come on my platform Monday morning, and it's called Successful Woman That Could Pray. That's the name of that platform, Successful Woman Who Could Pray. And when I get there on a Monday morning and I see 56 and 65 and these numbers of women that pull themselves out of their bed and got themselves ready to go before a king, go before God, knowing with all the success that we have, we still have a void. We still have something that is missing, and that's a communication with Creator. And I have that that privilege as a leader, servant leader, to lead these women before God, petitioning Him for that which we desire here in the earth. So this is what keeps me going. The fact that it's not only I myself, but there is an assignment, and I need to have it finished.
Girl, don't you start.
On the church.
Don't you start, you started already. That is awesome. That's absolutely awesome. You're right. When you can kind of, we say it a lot, it's not about us, you know?
It's the assignment.
It's the assignment. And when you're, I can have this conversation with you, when you're committed to Christ, it's the mojo. It will make you jump out of bed.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Can I say something on that?
I needed to hear that. Savannah, I'm just taking all the golden nuggets today.
You mentioned what keeps you going. And I tell you, I'm on a cloud now that, you know, Dr. Ken Locke has preached. But yeah, I can say truly, what keeps me going is knowing that there is a vision that is inside of me that does not, it's not predicated upon any external circumstances. And yeah, and that becomes a proving thing when circumstances come, right? So I could tell you for a fact, over the last week and a half, I've probably had most everything happen. You know, the boiler goes out, the car is out, you know, my precious aunt, my only aunt, she passed recently. And you know, so I also know that she was a believer and she's in the presence of the Lord, and she would want me to move forward. So again, it's about understanding what your vision is and knowing that when you have an assignment and a seat, nobody can take that spot. Nobody can sit in your seat, and God will get you there on time. But what He does so beautifully is He brings people like Pamela into our lives.
Yeah.
I have to say, I've known Pamela now for a few years, and it's been a beautiful journey. I had been looking to write. I had kept the writing discipline for years I've journaled for many years, you know, just as a practice. And that's evolved to being able to share my story in a platform, you know, in 2020, I was able to share my story in the middle of the pandemic. It was in a studio audience, But that was the first piece of pushing me out there and getting the story told. So I would recommend just start wherever you are. But with Pamela, she had this desire to bring women together like her bio talks about. And I was also interested in being a part of that collaboration, the It Takes Money, Honey collaboration on faith, freedom, and finances. So I remember also saying to her, Pamela, if you ever need an editor, let me know. Just let me know. And I just put it out there because I knew that that was something that I wanted to continue to do to kind of grow. So lo and behold, you know, it just worked out. She called me and said, hey, can you edit this project? And it was a learning process for both of us and for the whole project itself. And I'm just really thankful that even on this project, so I'm just really grateful that I can get to do the same thing on this project to be able to edit. But the most important thing is knowing that what keeps us going and what keeps me going is knowing that there may be somebody that needs to hear my testimony, that needs to hear my story. Even if I don't think it's something that I can share or that might be worthy in that moment, when you look at the news and see people dealing with mental health and wellness issues left and right, so from celebrities to pastors to corporate directors to anyone, you have to realize that there is some work for you to do, and you never know if that person can be blessed by what you go through. You know, what you have gone through. So that's what keeps me really motivated. I mean, I grew up in Harlem. I ended up witnessing my mother's passing when I was 5 years old. And the year before that, my father had passed too, both tragically, but God had people in my life to create a village. It was an unlikely pair of my uncle and my grandfather who ended up raising three girls. I'm the youngest of three, right? So that's the testimony in a nutshell. But the bottom line is that God has a way that leads us every day, and everyone has a story, and we all can bless one another with it and with the collective that we have here today. Yeah,
I really like that. I'm thinking the word that keeps popping up in my mind and my heart, I think, as I'm listening to you, is collaboration. To witness the fact that you all were able to come together to work together on this project is absolutely amazing. But also, it's like the inevitable, really. It's she was obedient enough to the assignment. Dr. Kinlock was talking about, you know, completing that assignment. Pam was consistent enough. You said 2 years, Miss Joanna, if I remember correctly, you just kind of shadowed her for 2 years and you saw. So just showing up when it seems like crickets, right, is powerful, because there's more people watching you that's commenting or liking your posts. So that's pretty awesome, you know, to do that. And Dr. Charlene, you're talking about 65 and whatever that number is, 4 a.m. consistently on Monday, you need to show up, because it just might be one soul that's on that line that need to hear your voice, hear you intercede and hear you pray. Whatever our individual assignments is, it's incumbent upon us to show up. Mm-hmm. Just show up in whatever amount of strength that we have at the moment. Continue to show up. I think that's a good segue. I'm going to take a quick break here, Savannah. You're listening to another episode of Courageous Conversations with Sheree. I'll be right back with you.
How many times have you heard WRUU's corporate underwriting message? If you remember it, then your potential customers remember your message as well. We are offering this space to connect corporate and institutional partners with our loyal and active listeners. Underwriting on WRUU is short, so listeners don't tune out. It's exclusive, so your message won't be lost in advertising clutter. And it supports Savannah's only community radio station. For a marketing package to increase your reach beyond traditional media, email underwriting@wruu.org.
And we are back. You're listening to another episode of Courageous Conversations with Sheree. And I'm on the line with the co-authors of Pain to Profit. Ladies, you still there with me?
Yes.
Awesome. Fabulous. So we want to hear about your stories in this book. We can just go around robin if you like, but why don't each one of you take a few minutes to just share what's your chapter title and just tell us a very condensed version without giving the book away. So obviously people will get it. But why don't you tell us a little bit about your story in the book? And then we're going to wrap up with some solutions. Go ahead, Danny. Get away.
Okay. So my chapter is Reset. And it's basically when you grow up knowing a certain type of where you think a certain type of abuse is covered up as love, you know, as Black African Americans, we grow up a certain type of way, and we are told to respect our elders, regardless of what they do to us. So, and then, you know, regardless of what they do to us, they put the word love on top of that. And it conditions you growing up to form a different type of terminology of what love is. And you carry that with you. So it's, my chapter is me really touching on talking about how to really push the reset button when you done been in certain situations like that, and not resort to drugs and prostitution, or, you know, selling yourself, you know, on the street. You know, it's other options and other ways to change, even though you are in that deep, dark circle, you know, right. And that hole can get really dark, and everybody don't know how to get out of it, mm-hmm. You know, and every influence around them is not motivating them to move forward, you know, mm-hmm. So my chapter is more or less of focusing on how do you move forward? How do you come out of that trance and pull yourself out of that dark hole when you don't have a support system? When you don't have nobody holding you up and supporting you and rooting you forward to come out, and it's light at the end of the tunnel.
Wow. Now I'm fascinated and intrigued all at the same time to hear just a glimpse of your story, and then to look at you. Obviously, I can see you. We're on Zoom and I can see her. Beautiful. But to have to go through whatever your journey. You came prescribed with that, right? On this path in life, this was your journey. And then to hear you say to not have the support system, but to see you on the other side of it, it's absolutely amazing. And I celebrate that with you. But when I look at you, I'm thinking it was you, that power to overcome. And I was going to say this, Dr. Charlene, that my favorite scripture is Revelations 12 and 11, that we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the words of our testimony. As I'm looking and thinking about Dani, she had the power within her earthen vessel to overcome whatever it is that was in her life. And you did it because you didn't have it externally around you. You didn't have it. And so that's the motivation, the inspiration, the empowerment to those that are listening and maybe in tears right now for this anointing that you're putting on the airwaves to destroy those yokes. So what I'm trying to say is you can be the answer for whatever it is that you are experiencing. And here are examples. Amazing. We're going to come back for some tips of how you were actually able to overcome. But please jump in. MJ, I want to come to you next and just chime in, please.
So my chapter in the book will basically be focusing on empowerment, and basically empowering adults as well as children. Because a lot of times, you know, I'm a 70s baby. So like Dani said, a lot of things were suppressed and things that were swept under the rug and things that you weren't supposed to ever disclose, but you never healed. So in my chapter, I'll be talking about empowering our young people, having what I didn't have, you know, growing up, and helping to heal the wounds of others.
Yeah, that's a mouthful. And here's the thing, you're just not speaking to adults. You're also speaking to children. And I think that's a great balance, because oftentimes in our culture, what happens in our house stays in our house type mentality. And now in the world of social media, it's out there. You know, you do with it what you want, but this is my truth and I'm sticking with it. And people are now unashamed and unapologetic with their truth. They're bold enough to speak up and share how they really feel about things. And feelings also was an issue. You know, I was told, or can remember being told, you know, like dry it up. That means you're crying, stop crying. Stop, you know, suck it up, or, you know, be strong and all of that jazz, which was, I don't know if it was which tea it was, torture or trauma or both.
Like, are you crying? You get like, oh, wait a minute, you just want me. You want me to cry?
Or maybe give you something to cry about.
Right. All of that. I'm not alone. I'm glad I'm not alone. I'm sorry you went through it too, but geez.
That's why I tell a lot of people, like, I was raised off of survival. I wasn't raised off of love.
So awesome.
That's survival techniques.
You're right, Danny. And also, I think that we need to pay attention to mental wounds as much as we pay attention to physical wounds. Mental wounds hurt just as bad, if not worse, than actual physical wounds. We're losing people. We need to really, really stop suppressing these things and help heal the wounds of others. And that's what my chapter will be focusing on.
That's powerful. We are raised off of survival, not love. That is so powerful. But to have the courage to actually verbalize that is huge. That's huge. But you know, it's generational. So yes, we're not pointing fingers. We're just identifying, yes, root causes. And the root of it is it's been passed along from generation to generation for so long. But I'm glad we're disrupting the pattern right now. That's phenomenal.
And unfortunately, I was totally unaware of what generational curses were. I just knew that I wanted to do something different than what I saw and what I experienced. Right. Not knowing until I became an adult what generational curses were. But my goal is to break as many generational curses as I can and help others same.
That's awesome. Very good. And what you're doing by sharing your stories is letting other people know, even adults, or especially adults, they're not alone in this thing. It's interesting how common dysfunction really is.
I think that's one of the reasons why it's important for us as authors, adult authors, to share our stories, because we embody the very hope of the future that some people want to see. And my chapter is about, you know, surviving childhood trauma. I mentioned that my parents passed away. My mother, she completed a suicide. She succumbed to a suicide before I was 6 years old. And I was about a month away from being six. And my father passed tragically a year before. And what I talk about in the chapter is how the collective have pulled together my family, but not only that, how I've developed a practice through the years, a mindfulness practice that I would recommend for people, because it is about healing that trauma individually. Yeah. And then collectively we do it even in things like this, you know, having a group, an author circle. But then also I talk about a coaching program that I've developed over the years, and it's called it's called Release, Allow, Attract, and Act. And they're basic words. It's not always easy to do, but in that order, it helps people kind of get into this new space of where they are today so that they can not be bound by the toxic situations of the past, as much as what, you know, Melinda and Danny has just talked about as well. So I'm happy to talk about that.
You ran through that really, really quickly. Did you say release, allow, attract, and act?
You got it. Release, allow, attract, and act. Yes. Because, you know, we got it backwards in this country. We want to be, do, and have, right? We want to just get those things and then kind of back into it. So that this process just helps people to kind of take it step by step, so that they, by the time they get to the act part, it's a natural, effortless decision. Yeah. Versus trying to make it happen. So that's what.
And quite honestly, you know, that whole make it happen, we could do a whole nother hour show on that. But quite honestly, especially in the United States, we are doer, 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 doer. But the natural cycle of life is ebb and flow. You're not supposed to force a thing. It's supposed to be natural. But we're trying to do, just think about, we're like robots, human robots, trying to make things happen all the time on steroids.
We're socialized so differently here. And if we just think about even another country over, maybe, you know, we can see how different people are socialized to get a different result. So I'm curious about that as well, just how we're socialized. But yeah, we're human beings, not human doings, not human thinkings.
girl, aha moment right there. Thank you for that epiphany. I love when you said we embody hope of the future we want to see. Oh, I'm catching these nuggets. You guys are dropping them and I'm catching them. That's amazing. Wow, who's next? Jump in.
I will. This is Joanna. There are certain universal truths, just like universal laws of gravity that cannot be changed. And they're all in harmony. So when you look at all of the great thinkers, so to speak, like the late great Bob Proctor, Earl Nightingale, Napoleon Hill, and all those books that they put out there, do you know all of that is in harmony with God's word, the Holy Bible? It's in harmony with divine truth, and people who don't even serve the Most High still benefit and can lead prosperous lives by following those laws, because it's like a physical law of the universe. It's just how it works. It's science, yeah. Not philosophy. Yeah. But that information is just so little known. That's why it's called like the strangest secret. And there are people you can be searching for a long time, but when you have that desire inside of you, that fire in your bones, that you know there's something out there and you don't give up, you will eventually find it. And so with the story that I'm sharing is that through the ups and downs, through abuse, through divorce, through homelessness, through unemployment, through death of parents, poverty, you know, living in public housing, food stamps, deadbeat exes, the gamut, mental illness, debilitating depression, debilitating, where you could hardly function, you see. But there was something consistent that I had to hold on to, even if I allowed other people's opinions of me cause me not even to be able to receive God's love, that everything that was written in the good book, I couldn't totally embrace and apply for myself because right. I let other people's negativity cloud my thinking. Mm-hmm. Even when all that happened, as long as that consistent hope and not giving up, continuing to failure after failure after failure, of whatever ill thought out business ventures, whatever leaps of faith you take, and really it's not a leap of faith, it's just insanity. But whatever, in spite of all of that though, the consistent thing that kept me alive was being true to myself as a creative performing artist. And I wrote a song about the music is gonna save me because I don't have degrees, I'm not famous, but I have performed for other people in public or private settings consistently every year of my adult life. And that has helped keep my sanity and that has helped me to push forward. And that's part of the message with the Matana five-dimensional performing arts experience. I want people to leave our three-hour workshop refreshed, inspired, that they are heard, that they're embraced and accepted and supported, and they can take that creativity and it's gonna affect every aspect of their lives to be a better family member, a better community member, a better employee, employer, better everything across the board. So I hope that resonates with others and helps them.
Yeah, you know, what you were talking about, debilitating depression, I immediately thought about high functioning depression. As the doers, not the being beers, human beings, but the human doers. You can be high functioning. Think about Chelsea Chris that just committed suicide recently. Beautiful, gorgeous attorney, Miss USA, all this jazz. You talk about having all the stuff, but still having a void there, right? Externally looking like I got it going on, living in one of the top buildings in New York City. You're talking about, oh, my heart just breaks. That could have been any one of us, or is it any of us? You know, when I said losing my dad and just stopping, my challenge was, I'll tell you and tell my listening audience, the challenge was for me is I created a platform where I'm expected to show up. But what about those times when I don't want to, don't feel like it, don't have the strength to? I also have to equally show myself that much strength, grace, and love to not show up and to know when it's okay. But I'll tell you that. And so it was really a symptom of high functioning depression because I can show up and turn on the light and continue to go and still feel depleted.
Yes.
You know? And that's sad to experience that. That's not good. I mean, how do we normalize all of that?
It just makes, you know, sense, everything that we're sharing, and just to pull it together. I'm listening to everybody's story, and I get to, you know, read everybody's chapter, what is taken out, what is, you know, left in there. And I'm looking at women who are ready to share their story with the world. And yeah, even beyond that, you know, I keep telling them that this is beyond the book for me. We all have such amazing, you know, whether it's a calling, assignment, you know, but this is just a little, it's just a jump start for you. And I hear that passion, you know, from Joanna. I hear that from, you know, Dr. Kenlock, from Danny, you know, from Melinda, from Danietta. Just, you know, the power that their story is unleashing them into, you know, and it's everything for me. You were talking about this young lady who just jumped out of the building, and I read it, and she was talking about how, you know, she identified herself with her title, you know, how people wanted her to perform, and that wasn't her.
Right. You
know, sometimes we have everything. People see us as if we are successful. You know, we have everything, been there, done that, but we are walking and we are empty.
Yeah.
You know, we are crying within, even though we are laughing outwardly, and people are looking at us and they are envious and they are jealous, not knowing that, you know, what we are going through. Yes. You know, and so that is what, you know, for me, being able to bring women to say, you know what, I can see you. I can see what is inside of you. I can see beyond, you know, what you are telling me. And I believe in you. That's what I tell the women. I believe in you. I was talking to one lady today who wants to join the book. I said, I can see the destiny that you have. And God was just giving me ideas for this lady. I said, if we never talk, please take a step and do this. Yeah. Because if not, you are holding yourself back. You will, you know, wait till 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, one day on your deathbed with regret of the things that you never did.
Wow. With like 4 minutes in the show.
I can just say that I am certainly inspired, and I, you know, we just all thank God for Pam and what she brought us to the point we could share our life story. Mine is unleashing brokenness. I'll tell you this, just to piggyback on what she said, sometimes it looks good on the outside. My story is just sharing when I thought it all looked bright. You know, I'm waiting to get married. I finally got married. I'm married to an apostle. I'm excited. We had the wedding. My God, it was beautiful. And then to turn out, and less than a month, the apostle of my dreams got locked up. You know, I am from the Caribbean. So clearly my husband was the one was going to take me out of the school system, because that's how I entered the country. I was a Bible school student. And so now I have some stuff with the immigration, and they want me to sort it out. They told me that I'm too grown for my father, who is a citizen, to sponsor me. So I went ahead with my marriage to a person. And the day that we went for the interview, just to put it together, my husband got arrested. And life that I knew of just turned. I am ministering, I'm traveling, I'm inspiring other women, and now I'm faced with this. My God, from Zion. But I went through it. I came through it. Apostle and myself is still married 13 years later with children. I became the wife of an inmate, and I learned so much. I learned what it took to really honor those vows we make at the altar. And so my story have a lot to do with overcoming and unleashing the brokenness, able to have a voice for all the women of walks of life. I don't know who you are, whether it's a first lady, whether it's an elect lady, whether it's a calling lady. So many times we hide the stories that we go through, that really what people wants to hear. They want to hear We made it out. We came through. I said to my husband, I always said, honey, I made it on the broken pieces. I made it. And I want people to know, and I'm excited. I love this group of women. We are in love with Pam, and all we want to just tear her apart. We can't get enough of her. And I'm just happy for a platform to let someone know you too can make it on the broken pieces. You can make it.
Beautiful.
That's amazing. I made it on the broken pieces. I think that's an excellent segue to end this first interview. You guys are certainly going to have to come back. I know we have another one. So this was just a taste of Pain to Profit. This is to be continued. Ms. Pam, would you tell them, or anyone, tell them where they can get a copy of the book?
Absolutely, yes. And we are on Amazon, on the Amazon platform, and you can look for Pain to Profit book, and it will come up for you. Or Pain to Profit and put in Pamela Menti, and it will come up for you. We are doing the pre-sale on the digital book, and the hard copy book will be out in April.
Fabulous. Well, congratulations. I told you guys this hour was going to zoom by really, really quickly. But we do have more authors coming back. You guys are certainly welcome to come back at that time as well. Any last words, Ms. Pam?
I just want to thank the ladies for showing up, you know, for sharing your stories, you know, the pain, the defeats, the struggles, all the dirty stuff. You have owned your stories and you are showing up to make a difference in the world. You know, we are on a global platform right here where people are listening to us and being empowered and inspired. And I applaud you all. Thank you so much, Cherie, for this platform. We continue to pray for you, for everything that you are going through. And we thank you so much for this platform. Really, it is amazing. And we will be back, right, ladies?
Yes.
I love it.
Fabulous. Thank you, ladies, so much. That's another episode of Courageous Conversations with Cherie. I want to remind you that the viewpoints expressed in the preceding program are not necessarily that of WRUU, its staff, or its license holder. And until next week, Savannah, take care.